Hey, good morning and shalom. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We have come a long way. And we thank God for the opportunity to learn together. I hope the Lord has continued to speak to our lives concerning the winning of the souls. This year, we will fail to win the souls because we want to. Not because we don't know. The Lord has continued to use this book of John to help us to understand the biblical truths. Today, we want to reflect on John chapter number 10 from verses 11 to 21, only 10 verses. And we want to look at the winning of the lost sheep by the Good Samaritan, by the Good Shepherd, the winning of the lost sheep by the Good Shepherd. It's very true that sheep are, or the lost sheep are in different versions. We have got different types of them. There are those that are lost, but they are wounded in the valley of the shadow of death. There are those that are lost, but they are looking healthy. They've not been attacked, seemingly for now, but they are lost. There are those that are lost, but educated. Educated, but lost. There are those that are what we call humble, all uneducated, but they are lost. There are those that are very, very violent, but they are still lost. There are those that are argumentative and they have got different opinion, but they are lost. Actually, there are those that are violent to the shepherd. If you try to go and look for them, they will tear you up. And they'll kill you, but they're still lost. These are sheep. But the Lord has called us to win all of them. The Lord sent us to go and win them. In the book of Luke, chapter number 15, we are looking at least three types of lostness in the parable that Jesus gave, the parable of the lostness. We look at the parable of the lost sheep, and we discover that sheep get lost because of company. Sheep get lost because of companion, because they followed the long companion, the long company. They went together as a team, and because they love moving together, by the time they realize, they are lost. And when they move together as a team, they also get out or get outside the scope of the shepherd. That's how sheep normally get lost. Number two, but Jesus expect the shepherd to go for them, to look for them, just as we discover that the shepherd went looking for them, and when he found one of them, he came home rejoicing, happy, and he called people to rejoice because that which was lost, even if it was one, has come back, it has been found, and they rejoice and they make merry. And you see, Jesus does not talk about the lost many sheep. He talk about the lost sheep, even if it is one out of the 99. Jesus wants us to go for it. Now, number two, we see that the second type of lostness is what depicted by the lost coin. Coin did not lose itself. It was lost by the woman. It was lost by the owner. It was lost by the carelessness, not companion this time, but by the carelessness of those who are supposed to have taken it. Those who do not take care of the sheep or the coins. These are images used. They're expensive. And we discover there are very many people who are lost, not because of their own. They followed their, you know, their parents. Their parents did not come to church, and so they were lost. The parents took them to the dance, took them to trades, to evil and bad trades. Their parents were silent also. They did not stop them from moving to the long place. Though they discovered their children moving out, they did not stop them. They did not teach them. They did not educate them. They did not reach out to them. They were silent. And evil prevailed when these good mothers and good pastors and good teachers and good caregivers did nothing, and the flock got lost. It's by carelessness. It is expected that the woman that represents the church should go out and look for the lost and bring them. And once they're supposed even to cost them to lit the light, to take the light. Remember, you talk about the lighting, take the light, take the torch, they light it, they sweep. And once they get it, they call for a party, they rejoice. And in heaven, it is resonated, there's still joy in heaven. So we discover that the second category of those who get lost, they get lost by carelessness. The first one is by company, by peer group. The second one, they are lost by carelessness of those who are supposed to be their leaders. Number three, we find the highest level of lostness is the one who get lost by choice. You discover it's by company, by carelessness, and by choice. Getting lost by choice means that some people choose to get lost, like the prodigal son or the prodigal sons. And getting lost does not mean only moving from home. You can get lost when you are home. We have discovered that. We've got two prodigal sons. The younger son was prodigal. He got lost by choice. He left home. He asked his father, "Give me my share. I want to go. I don't need you. I am tired of you." And when he was asking for the share, actually in himself, it was equivalent to say, "When will you die so that I may take the inheritance?" Because it was not allowed for anyone, even to this day, to ask for the inheritance until the one you are inheriting dies. Paul says that you cannot ask for the inheritance until that one who writes the will is dead. The testator must be dead. Those who are writing the will. So asking for the inheritance is asking, "Die, give it." But the father willingly did give. But that was what we call permissive will. The father, this generous father, just gave it to him. And he went away. Now, you remember that the father did not go for him because he was not ready. When you get lost by choice, you are not ready to come back. And that's why Jesus said, "Do not throw rubies to pigs. Do not give gold to swine, because they will tamper on them and then they turn and feed on you or destroy you and tramp on you." That's to mean that you should always be discerning how the sheep got lost. But whether they get lost by choice, or by carelessness of others, or by companionship of others and corruptness of other peer groups, we need to have the right view of the sheep. Whether they are violent, today we want to look at the good shepherd's, you know, perspective, how he looked at them. Yesterday, we had begun looking at the seven views, how you look at the lost and the wounded. And We also took the book of Luke yesterday, chapter 10, and I want to allude to it again very quickly, just to remind us that one, the people who had gone to Jesus Christ to ask, "Who is my good neighbor?" These were the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. Their perspective to those that to the lost people is that the lost people is just a subject, is a topic to be discussed. So there are some of us who look at the lost just as a topic to be discussed. We discuss these topics, and you'll never go for any one of them. They are lost, but you discuss them, how they got lost, what is happening in them, like what this man was asking, was asking about the good neighbor. I hope that is not you. Number two, the second view or perspective to the sheep, whatever category, whatever angle they are in, whether they are violent or humble or wounded, is that there are those who look at them just like the robber. That one we did yesterday. The robber look at the sheep, look at those who are passing as an object, not subject, but an object to rob from, to thief from, to take something from. And there are some of us who look at the lost and they are saying, "How can I get something?" There are those who get young girls who are lost and they violate them and they abuse them sexually. You find, I have seen even some people who get mad women in the village, in the marketplace, and they rape them when they are there. Can you imagine a mad woman who is raped? Now, I keep asking, who is mad? Is it the woman who was raped or the one who raped? Both of them are mad. It is a bad perspective of looking at them. So there's those who want to get enriched because of them. That's the rich. That's the second category or the second perspective. That perspective is that of the Levite and that of a priest. When they got the man already wounded, they looked at him and they knew, and they walked on the other side because for them, this person was a burden to avoid. There's some of us who look at the lost as a burden to avoid, and we don't want to take care of it. We think that if we take there, this they will be able to take our comfort, they'll take our place and all that. May God change us from our perspectives. That's number four. I put them together. Number five, there is what we call the Good Samaritan, and we talked about this. The Good Samaritan looked at this person and the eye lenses. Or the lenses they wear was that there is that of compassion. It's a soul to look with compassion. You look at them as compassionate. You are compassionate about them, and you seek to help them. But number six is the people we call the innkeeper, where the Good Samaritan took this man. Now, when the innkeeper, which was a hospital, looked at this person, for them, this person was a business to make profit, not to thief. They were not stealing, but it's a business. They wanted to make businesses with the people of God, with this person, and they enrich themselves. But number seven, and the last one, which I want to complete with today, is Jesus's view of the wounded man, because Jesus looked at this person as a soul to die for. That's why in book of John, chapter number 10, from verses 11 to 21, Jesus is talking about his death. And he says this, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." You see, that's what I want to focus on, or just a little look at it. There is nobody like Jesus. Jesus looked at every one of us as a soul to lay down his life for, a person that he can die for, a person that he can sacrifice for. And his sacrifice was too huge. The Bible says that he's not like the herring. He who leaves the sheep and goes away, and the wolf attack them and scatter. You know, the hireling goes because they, you know, they are there because of money. But in verse 14, he repeats again and said, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me. Just as my Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They also will listen to my voice, and there shall be one, there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father." You see, Jesus is really talking about laying down his life. He has authority to lay down his life. He was talking about to die for. And he says the Father loves him because he dies for the sheep. And he says he can lie down by himself. He can give his life and he can take it back. And that's why when he was at the cross, Jesus knew why he was there. He was laying down his life. And once he had done that, he was able to say, "It is finished. It's finished." And we are looking at that very good objective of outlook of winning the soul by dying for them. That is the highest level of soul winning, dying for them. But Jesus says, we can also lay down our lives. Lay down our lives. We may not die for them, but we must lay down for the flock in Jesus' name. Father, give us the grace. Give us the ability. Give us the agenda. Give us your view. Give us the love to lay down for the flock, just as you did, in Jesus' name.